Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Why support the president's travel ban? Because 2,977 Americans were killed by 19 Muslim immigrants on 9/11/01. Well, friends, that billboard placed along an obscure section of Interstate 40 outside Hickory, North Carolina, caused me and the North Carolina Pastors Network to receive death threats and some of the most venomous emails and phone calls imaginable. And all of that occurred this past May when the billboard went up and stayed up for 30 days. Well, now we're again discussing a terror attack that has occurred in the United States of America, in the city of New York, perpetrated by a person committed to Islamic ideology. 29 years old, from Uzbekistan, killed innocent people in the most horrific, brutal, and inexcusable manner, the worst attack since 9/11/01. And friends, with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl. The entire team is here, and we have as our special guest one of our favorite guests, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Middle East expert, host of Prophecy Today. He's with us as well. We're going to formally bring him aboard momentarily. But friends, yesterday around 3:05, Saifullo Saipov is the man's name, directed his rented Home Depot truck into a bike path in lower Manhattan, mowing down both walkers and bike riders, just as we've seen occur repeatedly across the European continent in attacks just like this. Yet the insane mindset and commentary continues, and I'm talking about that of calling Islam a religion that has become radicalized. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Islam does not become radicalized. It is by its very nature, to us in the West, radical. But those who are adherents to Islamic ideology and theology don't view themselves or their actions as radical, because this is precisely what they are taught to do within the religion of Islam. Their Quran teaches them that. So friends, we have a problem that needs to be addressed. And on this program, we've talked about it a lot. We're going to continue to talk about it a lot, because it is a problem that, unless addressed accurately and honestly, will never be solved. Sam, you made a comment to me via text yesterday with respect to this, and I want you to repeat what you said, if you could, because I think you went right to the heart of the problem that we're facing with not just this terror threat, but with Islam as a whole.
Dave, I would be glad to do so. And this is what we talked about yesterday in light of this circumstance. And it was particularly in light of the circumstance of the governor and the mayor there in New York refusing to identify this as an Islamic terrorist event. Obviously, there was mayhem. Obviously, there was death. Obviously, and they did talk about terrorism, but they wouldn't go, as what you were talking about, to the point of saying Islamic terrorism. And I said to you at that point, I said, this is a nationwide failure we have of leadership. How can leadership, or people in positions of influence and notoriety and visibility, how can they not refuse to identify evil when they see it? And I said, it's either one or two things. Either because they are total cowards, or they are, in fact, perhaps complicit in the action. And what came to my mind, Dave, was this. We've just gone through the whole circumstance of the exposure, pardon the pun, of Harvey Weinstein and the Hollywood elites, who are now being identified as pedophiles and being involved in tremendous sexual abrogations. And what do we see once the word comes out that they were guilty and that they have actually done these things? All of a sudden now, you're having a lot of other people come out and saying, yeah, we knew about it 10 years ago. We knew about it 15 years ago, but we didn't say anything. And some of them even ask, why didn't you say anything? Well, we should have said something. And Dave, the result is, by their failure to say something, they guaranteed that innocent people in that case would either lose their sexual purity or perhaps their self-esteem, at least a whole lot of other damage. But when political leaders, in the case of Islamic terrorism, refuse to identify it as what it is, They are also, in my terms, Dave, they are condemning innocent people to death. This is a serious matter, and I think that goes to the heart of what it is, the failure to deal with the truth and to call it what it is. The result is they truly are condemning innocent people to death.
Well, let me bring Jimmy DeYoung aboard. Dr. Jimmy, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. I want to ask you a question quickly because our time is running out in this segment. As numerous organizations, I'm talking about college, even churches like Christ Church in D.C. that are removing monuments, plaques that have reference to do with our history, we're denying actually one of the greatest threats to our nation that we have ever had, and I'm talking about Islamic ideology. As one who's lived in the Middle East, specifically Jerusalem, how dangerous really is this enemy called Islam? And perhaps more importantly, how dangerous to our very survival as a nation is this insane political correctness that so many media and national leaders choose to operate by?
Dave, I believe what you need to do is we need to do what Sam just said. We've got to name the enemy. We've got to recognize the threat. There is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. True Muslims follow the Quran and the Hadith, which would be the dictates of Muhammad, and that was the style of their activities to spread Islam across the world. Both of the holy books call for jihad. Political correctness is the path to death, not to survival. Reality is needed in this situation. Islam is all radical. Muslims want a worldwide caliphate. They're willing to die for this cause. They must be stopped or it's our death. And you've got to protect the soft targets. We're talking about a bicycle track. That is a very soft target. The school, the churches, these targets must be watched very carefully, must be on alert. Cannot deny the enemy is here in the country. They're here and must name every enemy, must profile. And again, that is a key component of being able to protect yourself against these Islamic radicals, must profile the enemy, must stop the enemy. And then after that has all been followed through with, must live a normal lifestyle in front of the enemy and say, you haven't scared me. And if you come back, we're going to get tougher.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that the leaders there in New York, both Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio, have said, you know, we're going to go on with life. But, Gary, before we go to the break, and we've got just a couple of seconds, yesterday the guys came out and said in their first press event, this was a lone wolf event, we don't know of any connection with international terrorism. Gary, what has to happen to convince our tone-deaf leaders we have a problem with Islam?
Well, I don't have the time to develop that, but I will say this, that there's no such thing as a lone wolf. Keep in mind that that phrase, lone wolf, was a phrase that was developed in the past presidential administration to develop a detour away from the radicalization of the Islamic ideology. There is no such thing as a lone wolf.
Well, friends, when we come back from this brief time out, we're going to continue our discussion and expand it a little bit to the global threat the world faces, not just here in the United States. Don't miss this discussion and Stand in the Gap today.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Moody is probably not a name that you easily recognize, but he is the executive vice president as well as executive editor for Fox News. He is a former Rome bureau chief for Time magazine as well. And yesterday, shortly after the attack took place in New York, he wrote this powerful, powerful paragraph. I want you to listen to it. Even before the names of the perpetrator and the dead and injured are known, there will be warnings not to stereotype, not to sully the reputation of any faith or ideology. Don't link radical Islam with terror. Yet New York Mayor Bill de Blasio came right out and said it. This was an act of terror. That was already apparent to the New York City police, whom de Blasio has repeatedly insulted as racists and demeaned for quickly confronting the dangers of criminal behavior. That's the same de Blasio who pompously defied Trump's call to dismantle so-called sanctuary cities, making it tougher for authorities to find and corral criminals. Don't let the terrorists change our life in any shape, manner, or form, said Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday, just 2 hours after the attack took place. That's right, New Yorkers. Listen to your governor. Don't take any extra precautions in how you live your lives. Don't admit that there are evil people in the world who want to kill you, and exhort God's greatness at the end of that. Don't use that ugly word war to describe our conflict with radical Islam. Don't offend and don't defend. It might upset someone. Trick or treat. End quote. Sam, I want to go to you because I think John Moody's comments sum up exactly where we are. Have we reached the point in America where political correctness has destroyed our ability to even speak truth with respect to our nation and its enemies, much less defend our nation from such? Or, Sam, do you believe, conversely, that as a result of this latest terror attack, the American people are going to wake up to what happened in New York yesterday and to what is happening with increased frequency around the world?
Well, Dave, political correctness has nearly destroyed our ability to think rationally, speak objectively, and live normally. Political correctness has taken the heart out of who and what we are and cut truth out of the very framework of the system of justice in our country. Yeah, it's a terrible, a disastrous thing, Dave, and we cannot exist in the face of that. Obviously, the president has spoken a great deal attacking the matter of political correctness. But to answer your question, do I believe that as a result of what happened in New York yesterday that the American people are going to wake up? The answer is no. I don't think so yet, Dave. I don't think so. We didn't wake up at 9/11. This is not the second incident since 9/11. We've had plenty of them. When our leadership, those in the position and the duty, bound by their constitutional oath to defend this Constitution and to maintain justice, when those people themselves refuse to call what is and what's not not, when they refuse to do that, Dave, the American people are going to be forced to suffer greater harm. I hope that this helps to lead us for a further discussion, but I'm afraid that this by itself is not what it's going to take to waken up and to change.
Sam, this is a perfect transition into the question I want to ask Dr. Jimmy. What troubled me most yesterday was to listen to de Blasio and Cuomo as they said, go on, live your lives. We're New Yorkers. We're resilient. Go on and do your shopping. Go on and go to the parade this evening, Halloween parade, and we're going to have the New York City Marathon coming up on the weekend. Go ahead and go to that, and don't let these terrorists disrupt your life. I understand some of that. But it's almost like these guys are accepting terrorism as the new norm. Dr. Jimmy, I know you lived in Israel for 22 years. Israel has been extremely effective in defending themselves against these same sinister demonic enemies. So what is it they do, and what is it we can learn from what they do here in the United States of America? In fact, what must we learn from them if we're going to be able to defend ourselves in the future?
Dave, that statement by go about living your normal life is key as the Israelis face this, which is the enemy inwardly in the state of the Jewish state of Israel. Now, that's the bottom line. But wait a minute. There's several prerequisites before you get to that point. Again, you have to stand up and tell the Islamic world, because terrorism is simply to spread fear among the body politic of not only the United States, not only Israel, but every country of the world. So you've got to do that ultimately, to stand in their face and say, we're going to not allow you to change our lifestyle. However, first, you've got to name the enemy. Prime Minister Netanyahu goes about naming the enemy almost on a daily basis. The other political leaders in the state of Israel, They're not afraid to use the word Muslim radicals. They believe that all Muslims are radicals. They're not afraid to call it war. They are at a war. And they have trained the body politic of the Jewish people to live on alert. In other words, walk circumspectly all the time so you're recognizing. Now, even back in the United States, when I see somebody's bag sitting someplace, I walk up to an authority figure at that location and say, whose bag is that? We need to take care of that bag immediately. That's just the lifestyle I've grown through 26 years living in Israel. That's the way we live. You've got to set up security. I've been in the airport there in Ben Gurion Airport, and an alarm would go off, and they would clear that airport within 1 minute because the people were alert and aware what needed to be done if there was some type of security threat. In malls, we drive into a mall, they lift the back of the car, they check in the trunk of the car, they look inside, they let you go on in, then when you get out of the car after parking it, you go to the door, they check your bags when you walk in. The same thing happening at restaurants. They have this special terror force. When I was doing the Day of Discovery, we were in a pedestrian location, a mall type of thing, and having a meal, and about an hour after we left, two terrorists came in killing. Within 30 seconds, there were a group of anti-terrorist forces that were working out. They jumped on their bikes. They came down into the area. They shot and killed the terrorists. They were ready to do that. And they were able to do that because they profile. They have the word profiling has come up time and time again in our discussion already today. You got to go about doing that, and then you start living your normal life. I think America needs to pay attention, take some advice from the Israeli security people. They've been living in, as you've already mentioned, Dave, we've been living that way in Israel for just over 150 years. That's what they're used to. That's what they're alert to. And indeed, they've got to control the Muslim intake. They do that as well. They allow people to come across the border. Some of them are Muslims, but they keep very tight security as it relates to the total intake.
You know, Dr. Jimmy, if our authorities in this country listened and implemented what you just said, because that was powerful, it would totally change, dramatically change the outcome of America's future with respect, and I'm talking about in a good way, with respect to this terror threat we face. Gary, I believe this. With all my heart, I believe pastors in America are the key. I believe Sam knows that and believes that. You believe that. Dr. Jimmy believes that. So let me ask you this. For pastors who know the Lord, love the Lord, they love their country, they want to stand up for God's word in their country, what must pastors do? Because we're part of the American Pastors Network. What must we do to awaken our people and our leaders to the threat that we face with respect to Islamic terrorism?
Well, Dave, I'd like to tie this question in with the previous question that you asked. First of all, from the pastor's perspective, certainly we need to continue to teach our congregation. We need to provide opportunities for our congregation to learn about Islam, whether that's teaching on Islam on a regular basis or holding conferences or directing people to where they can learn about Islam. And certainly we need to preach the truth. But going back to the former question, which was what more must happen to convince our tone-deaf leaders that we have an Islam problem. Again, I think that that falls into the hands of pastors, and there are four things. We must encourage people to study the Quran. You know, the Quran is the guidebook by which the Muslims live, and so many people are trying to deny it, but it teaches in there that they are to kill the infidel. People need to study the Quran. Number two, we need to continue to speak out about what Islam is all about. And thirdly, we need to educate the church. And by educating the church, we can also educate the community as we continue to proclaim the truth. You put all of this together and don't give up on it, continue with it, then we are going to be able to make some sort of an impact, I think, for good in standing against this whole concept of the wickedness of Islam.
Sam, let me go to you quickly before we go to the break. The statement was made today in the press event that was conducted in New York City. The governor was there again. Mayor de Blasio was there. The chief of police of the New York Police Department was there. And the statement was made by one of the assistants that there was a note found yesterday in the car or around the car, the truck that the perpetrator used. And basically, there was a connection made to ISIS. And so the statement was made in the press conference today that this 29-year-old terrorist killed in the name of ISIS. Sam, again, I think that's incorrect terminology. He didn't kill in the name of ISIS, I don't think. I think he killed in the name of Islam, in the name of Allah. Love your comments on that.
Well, Dave, again, you've answered your question as you have set it up. Look at what he said. Allahu Akbar. He gave credit to Allah. He did it in the name of ISIS, but he gave the credit to and he did it for Allah, his religion, his God. Couldn't be clearer.
Well, I agree, friends. Again, Dr. Jimmy said it well. Gary said it powerfully. Sam has articulated it as well. We've got to speak the truth with respect to these things, friends, or we never, never will come close to solving the problem. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what this 29-year-old did and why he did what he did and the connection to international terrorism. There is a component there. Join us after the timeout on Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Ladies and gentlemen, when Dr. Jimmy DeYoung was on with us a couple of weeks ago, and you, if you're a regular listener to the program, know he is on bi-monthly, he shared with us that his son had taken a fall and was in very serious condition. Many of you, along with us here at Stand in the Gap today, have prayed for Dr. Jimmy DeYoung's son, Jimmy Jr. And Dr. Jimmy, I would love for you to do this because we have been inundated with questions, requests for more information about how your son is doing. So could you just take just a couple of minutes here and give us an update on how your son is doing so that we might know how to pray more intelligently?
Dave, I got to tell you, tears came to my eyes as you started to open up this segment of the broadcast because we have been so unbelievably overwhelmed with the response to pray for our son, Jim Jr. He's 57 years old, a key member of the staff of Prophecy Today, and he just loves the Lord dearly. His wife and children all love the Lord, and we're so thrilled that God has interceded to protect him. Now, he did fall from the second floor of a construction building. He works for us full-time, but he has a very good friend here in San Antonio where Judy and I flew down to on Sunday to be with our son and his family. And he was working for his very good buddy just a couple of hours in the morning. He has experience in carpentry and construction. And he was on the second floor, and they were moving some wood up there, and there's the sky lift that was doing that kind of swung its way and knocked him off. He fell in between two pieces of machinery that if he had hit them, he would have been killed immediately, but he fell onto somewhat soft ground with a lot of stones in it. His face was messed up quite a bit. The amazing, miraculous thing, he did not break a bone in his body. We do not see any problem as it relates to paralyzation of any type to him. He has got hurting body for sure because not a bone was broken, but each of them were bruised so badly that he's just having real difficulty taking deep breaths. His lung has been to an extent where it was not being able to fill out, which is, of course, a concern as it relates to pneumonia. But I tell you what, when we arrived on Sunday morning, we went over to his hospital room, and that afternoon they allowed him to come back home. They wanted him to be in his bed where he could be comfortable in his home. And he lives on the second story of his home, so they wanted him to walk those steps. But the main ingredient that we've been using to bring Jim back is the love from his mother. And she has been loving on him. And, you know, the love of a mother and the prayers of the saints will bring him back, that's for sure. And we're just rejoicing in how that is the case. He's doing much better. He's not out of the woods totally. He's still under doctor's care. But he's coming back, and his mother went for a little walk around the neighborhood. I go over, I check on him every day. I'm basically here in a motel working. My mom is doing her duty. But I thank your people so very much, and you three guys, you've been so kind to us to pray and lift Jim up. And the Lord, we just believe it's a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do for each and every one of us, not only for Jim Jr., but for all who love him and everything that happened according to his will and for his glory. So we praise the Lord for that.
Well, Dr. Jimmy, you cannot see me, obviously, in my room in West Virginia, but as you were giving that incredible report, I had my hands extended heavenward in praise to the Lord, because this is a miraculous thing. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for your inquiries to know more about how Jimmy is doing. And I want to thank you above and beyond all of that for your incredible prayers. Now, let's not let up. We want to see Jimmy Jr. Fully recovered, back to doing what he loves so much, serving his Lord. And so let's keep holding him up before the Lord. What a great, great report. I hate to even shift gears at this point, but I'm going to. And gentlemen, I want to bring something up that the media, as far as I have seen, and I've tried to watch all the news reports that I could. I certainly haven't seen all of them, but I've seen the vast majority of the major ones, the press events. The name of this 29-year-old perpetrator of this event yesterday in New York, this terrorist, this murderer, this adherent to Islamic ideology, his name is Saifullah Saipov. What I have not yet to this point heard anybody note. Now, gentlemen, if you've heard it, please correct me. I'll be glad to issue an apology. But I've heard no one in the media up to this point that I've heard say anything about it. But his first name, Saifullah, actually means something significant. It means the sword of Allah. So, Gary, if we have leaders in our political framework, if we have leaders within the law enforcement community who would at least do what you advocated, and that is read the Quran, study the names of these people, don't you think, Gary, that could help us with what Dr. Jimmy said Israel does and what we need to do, and that is appropriate profiling of our enemy?
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and I had not heard that that's what his name means, Dave, and I doubt that you're going to hear it from the liberal media and from the liberal politicians. But, you know, somebody needs to bring it out because it's a part of the whole scheme, is it not? It shows us really what this whole concept of Islamic ideology is about. And the man was just basically living up to his name. And, you know, one of the things that was brought out this morning by, I don't know if it was the mayor or the governor or the commissioner there in New York, one of the things that was brought out was that this planning that this fellow put into this attack yesterday goes back a number of weeks and maybe even longer. He lived right next to a mosque there in New Jersey. And so, you know, you begin to put all of the pieces together, particularly even what his name means. You can see that this man was out for a mission, on a mission, and there are numbers of Muslims who are out on the same mission. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize the enemy, and we need to confront the enemy directly.
Gary, the apartment that Saifullah Saipov lived in was no less than 100 feet away from that mosque. And by the way, from what I am hearing, that mosque has been under surveillance in the past by authorities in the New York area. And here's the other thing that is deeply troubling to me as well. We now know that this man, this terrorist, this adherent to Islamic ideology, this horrific murderer, was here, Sam, on what is called a diversity visa. Back in 1995, there was a law passed through Congress, and Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, along with several others, but Schumer has been a major, major proponent of this back in 1995 and has been a proponent of it since that time, pushing for allowing 50,000 immigrants or people into the country per year based on kind of a lottery system from Muslim countries and other countries around the world. So this guy has been here 7 years, part of this diversity visa program, and now, Sam, he perpetrates an act of terror and kills 8 people. Now, I don't know any other way to say it than this, but I feel like Chuck Schumer and his ilk and those that have been aware of the flaws in this diversity visa program, it's been brought up many, many times. There has been attempts to overturn it. It's been defended. These people, Sam, I believe have blood on their hands.
Dave, they do bear responsibility. They absolutely do. Now, understand, I mean, I've been in office. I have cast votes regarding policy. That's exactly what a Schumer does. But there's a big difference right here. Sometimes you can be wrong. Sometimes things can work out a little bit differently. But when Congress has modified the immigration laws, when they have supported Barack Obama in opening the gates and throwing off all of the historical evaluators that have gone into forever in this country relative to immigrants coming in, what they believed and their makeup and their health, all of those things used to be major factors in this country. When those guys, like a Schumer, throw them out the door, totally disregard them or change them or deny that they've existed, Dave, they do absolutely willfully incur liability and a moral blame for when these kind of things happen. There is no other way to look at it.
Dr. Jimmy, we also know, and I know I'm shifting here a little bit at the end of the program. I want to give you a couple of minutes maybe to begin addressing this, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. But I know there is some things going on in the Middle East. There is an alliance that has formed or is forming, further being cultivated between Iran and Hamas, that takes this threat that we're talking about within the context of the United States, context of New York City, takes it to a global level. Are you as concerned as we are about where all this is going? I mean, this is deeply troubling stuff.
Well, it is absolutely deeply troubling stuff. And when you look at the prophetic word of God, which of course all four of us do, we come to an understanding of how all of these players that are being mentioned are a part of an end time scenario that will absolutely be played out. Let me just, before I continue on that thought, tell you about a conversation that I had with James Walsley. James Walsley was the former CIA director. He went into the Saudi Arabian embassy. He saw a brochure of some type there in the rack. He picked it up. It was in Arabic. He didn't understand it. Took it back to CIA headquarters, had it translated. And what it was saying was a warning to all Muslims in America. And they said, you'd better be here for one of two purposes, or you're under a death penalty. The first purpose was to form a cell, a terroristic cell of some type, and go after America. They want to take over America. The second statement in the brochure was, if you're not doing that, you better be making money to support these people who are doing that. That's the goal of the Islamic world in America, and it's spreading across the world. And when we come back, I'll get into the concern that we're seeing there in the Middle East unfold.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can guarantee you, you didn't hear what Dr. Jimmy just shared on any other program. That's why we're committed to bringing you the truth. And when we come back from this very brief timeout, we're going to let Dr. Jimmy share with you and with us the international connection, the Middle East connection with all of this. And don't you miss a moment of it and Stand in the Gap today.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. We have Sam Rohr, Gary Dull, and our dear friend, special guest. Always love having him on, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. And there's some components of this attack in New York yesterday that have not been mentioned yet on this program, and they've really not been mentioned on any of the major media outlets. So I want to mention them quickly, and then we're going to go to Dr. Jimmy for understanding, explanation of how all this ties into what's going on in the Middle East and alliances that are occurring there. The attack yesterday, because I know the area well, one of my Bible college classmates pastors a church literally just blocks away from this bike path where this incident took place. And there are a number of schools in that area. I have been in that area on a number of occasions. And so this act was carried out yesterday by this Islamic ideologically committed adherent. It was carried out near schools. Was that accidental? I don't think so. And here's why. It was carried out on Halloween. If you know anything about Islamic theology, Islamic ideology, if you've read the Quran, know anything about the Hadith, if you know anything about the approach the Islamist takes to certain things in America, you know that Halloween is considered, and here is the Arabic word, haram, which means forbidden. So is it coincidental, is it accidental that this terrorist perpetrated this act and ran over these people horrifically, crushing and killing them on Halloween at 3:05 p.m., just as children are leaving the schools in that area to begin their trick-or-treating on Halloween afternoon? Is all that coincidental? I don't think so. And then one final thing I want to mention to you, and that is this. This was all committed and perpetrated within the shadow of what's now called Freedom Tower, what used to be called the World Trade Center complex. And if you know anything about the Islamists, there is much symbolism attached to what they do and why they do what they do. So when the authorities say this was planned for weeks, it was planned for at least weeks, if not longer. And it was planned because of a commitment to Islamic ideology. The word no one wants to use, Islam, Islamic, that was the motivator in this attack yesterday. Dr. Jimmy, I want to go to you. Pull it all together, if you would. Tell us what's going on with respect to all of this in the Middle East, this alliance with Iran, Hamas that's taking place, and help our audience understand where all this may end up going.
Well, first of all, Dave, well said, my good friend. Very, very important key information you've just given us. In Israel, we're seeing all of this coming after about 150 years of activity, similar to what we saw in New York City, what we're seeing in other nations and across the world itself. It's a global situation. And there are a number of components in the Middle East who want to use this type of activity. You're talking about Islamic State. You're talking about his connection, his training, his notification, his encouragement from Islamic State. Well, that is a part of the whole Islamic world there in the Middle East in particular. You have a battle going on in the Middle East to see who's going to control the ultimate goal of becoming the leader of the caliphate, the worldwide kingdom they want. That battle going on especially between Iran, and now you see a couple of other players, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Syria, all of these playing a key role with the exact same thing happening under the leadership of Russia. Vladimir Putin sitting back, being silent, carrying a big stick, watching as he develops his contacts, his control of the entire Middle East, all happening. Even in the state of Israel, Hamas and Fatah, they're the two factions of the Palestinian body politic. They've had reconciliation talks led by Egypt. And they were concerned because of the same thing that happened in New York City. That's why they were leaving it. Well, the implementation of these unity talks and agreements that have come forth is going to be the difficult part. President Trump said Hamas cannot be recognized as a part of this unity government unless they disarm. Hamas says, we're not going to disarm, and we will not recognize a Jewish state. And the, both of these factions believe that violence is the way to victory. Well, that's again saying what this young man in New York City said yesterday. Ultimately, an agent, a component of this Islamic thrust to have a worldwide caliphate. By the way, after those reconciliation talks, Hamas went immediately to Iran and surrendered under their leadership. They put together a plan to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. That's their number one goal, and then they'll follow through across the globe as well. Iran is supplying all the monies and the weapons for Hamas to do that. Plus, personnel are coming in, and these Iranian personnel are spreading out not only in the Middle East but across the world. Both say that the end game is going to be to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. They believe that when Israel is destroyed, then they're going to be able to take the rest of the world over and put in place their caliphate. It's a dangerous plan they have in place, but they're moving ahead with it.
Dr. Jimmy, I cannot thank you enough for your knowledge of all things Middle East, all things Islam, but more importantly, your knowledge, your in-depth knowledge of the scripture to be able to pull all this together. And what you just shared, of course, is beyond powerful. And even as you were speaking, reports are now emerging with respect to this 29-year-old terrorist in New York that as the authorities are interviewing him in his hospital bed, he is, I want you to listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, he's ecstatic at what he did. Ecstatic at what he did. Sam, I want to go to you, and then I want to leave time for Gary to perhaps comment and then lead us in prayer. But I want to underscore again, this is our solution segment. We typically call it, what must our leaders do? What must pastors do as spiritual leaders? What must the American public do if we're going to stand any chance of overcoming more ongoing attacks like this?
Dave, in the most simple of terms, we have to return to evaluating life from God's perspective. The whole reason there is such a thing as political correctness, the whole reason why our leaders have no courage, the reason they have an inability to look at a circumstance and see it for what it is and be so deceived into saying what they are saying, is because there's been a rejection of truth, which comes right back to the fact that they have rejected God and the Word of God, which is the only framework of what is true. Dave, there is no hope for addressing, clarifying in these times of confusion and getting people back onto a mark where they can actually look and see what is without looking through that lens of what the Word of God is. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what it's all about. That's as simple as it, Dave. That's got to be a biblical worldview reinstated in America, or will not change what we are seeing.
So, Gary, we have a heavier responsibility, don't we, my friend?
Well, we do, and I'm afraid that the PC, political correctness, is leading the United States of America down the tube to destruction. And I say that not just because of the cultural ramification of it, but if you follow political correctness, that will lead you to rejecting God himself. And back in the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." And I think that there's a direct application for that to the United States of America, not only the Jewish people back in the Old Testament.
Gary, take us to the throne of grace, if you would, as we exit the program.
Father, it is my prayer that here in the United States of America, that every one of us will return back to the truth of your word, even as it relates to this great attack that took place there in New York. May we return back to the truth of your word and see everything through the eyes of the scripture so that we might live for your glory and speak your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't say it probably frequently enough, but I sure love these guys that I share the radio microphone with. And Dr. Jimmy, it's always a delight. We love you. Thank you for coming on, speaking so clearly and so powerfully. Ladies and gentlemen, 23 hours from now, join us back for the next installment.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.